Hi, I'm Boyd Barrett, the creator of Roswell, BC, Before the Crash. I'm here with another update on the status of our story. I told you last month that due to hail and rain, my studio has gone out of commission for a while. I just heard that the ceilings and possibly the walls will be taken out and replaced during the next few weeks, so obviously I cannot do my typical recording sessions. Now I can record myself in my closet at home for something like this, but I don't want to sacrifice the quality I've established in my new studio by going back to recording my Roswell voices at my home. So, the story is still headed your way, but it will be delayed a little longer. Thanks for being patient. In the meantime, let me tell you about another audio project I'm creating along with my fellow audio drama producer, Dane Leonardson of Coach Studios. Because we can create 3D surround sound audio now, we wondered what it would be like to create an audio atmosphere or setting where you could put on headphones or put in earbuds, close your eyes, and be transported back to the time of Jesus, where you could feel like you're right there as part of the scene, hearing what was being said and seeing what was being done, just like those first followers did. So, we've begun to produce Come and See, an immersive audio experience. This will not be a free podcast like Roswell, BC is. Instead, we're paying our incredible voice actors and creating a digital download delivery system. So we've started a Kickstarter campaign, which I would love for you to check out. The link will be in the show notes. Now, what you're about to hear is the trailer from that project. Please grab some headphones right now or some earbuds, close your eyes, and listen to the first full scene plus several snippets from other scenes. I know that after you listen, you'll want to hear more.
Rethink everything, for the kingdom of God is near. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord.
I saw you here yesterday, didn't I? It was when the carpenter from Nazareth went under.
He is the one who comes after me.
I thought so. What do you think happened to the baptizer? He hasn't been the same since.
Andreas, there you are. You left the nets early today.
Well, it appears you did as well.
What have I missed?
There's a new fire in his words. Listen.
And it remained on him. He who sent me to baptize in water told me that I would see it. This one will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire.
I see what you mean. Who is this?
Oh, we just met. By the way, what is your name?
There is. Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Didn't you hear what I said? Go after him.
Wait.
Yes?
Yeshua, son of Yosef, you and your father used to come to Capernaum to work. It's been a few years, but I remember you. I am Andreas, son of Yonan, brother of Shimon, and this is Yohanan.
Son of Zvadi, brother of Yaakov.
What are you waiting for? Go with them!
You've become a rabbi?
That's a far cry from carpentry and stonework.
What do you want?
Where are you staying, rabbi?
Come. Come and see.
Wait! How about one more?
Of course. Come. Come and see.
Have you seen him anywhere?
Nothing in that direction.
He wasn't over there either.
How could he just disappear like that? And for 40 days, didn't he know we'd try to follow him?
I know. And now that the baptizer was taken to prison, who could we... Yes, I know. You don't have to remind me. We're crazy. All three of us. We spent one day with the man, and now we've wasted 40 days trying to find him. My brother is going to... Wait. Wait. There he is. I can't believe it.
He looks different. Weaker. Much weaker. Has he been fasting? Yes, that has to be it. Listen, I think he's saying something.
It is written.
Is that a stone in his hand?
Yes, it's a big one. He can barely hold it.
But man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Welcome back, little brother. I suppose I'd be angrier with you if we'd needed you these past few weeks. But as you can see from the nets, there haven't been enough fish to give any of us a good day's work.
Go back out to the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.
Listen, Carpenter. We've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing.
Let down your nets.
Shimon, please.
All right. I'll do what you ask. Come on, boys, one more try. Andreas, are you coming?
Yes. Yes, of course.
There you are.
I have much to tell you, Jakob.
Another of the baptizer's sermons, I'm sure.
No, it was the...
Save it until we're through.
You see that, little brother?
Yes, it's too much. I can't hold on.
Johanan, Jakob! Come, we need your help.
Are you coming, little brother?
In a moment. See the woman next to the rabbi? That must be his mother.
He said she would be here.
Let's go see what stories we can get out of her.
But they've run out of wine.
Dear woman, what does that have to do with you or me? My hour has not yet come.
More water, ma'am?
You, whatever he says to you, do it.
Fill the pots with water.
The water pots? Those are for purification, for washing hands and feet. Why would he have them do that?
I learned a long time ago not to ask why. Just to wait to see what he does.
Excuse us, we didn't mean to...
It's all right. You came with him, didn't you? And Miriam,
his mother, we know. He's been telling us about you.
Is that right? Perhaps I should tell you about him. Yes, what the angel told me, I've shared with only a few.
Yosef?
Of course. But he had a visit of his own. Yosef was a gift to me. A strong man, but gentle. He could have turned his back on me, but he didn't. And his was not an easy task, raising my lamb, my Yeshua. I miss him terribly.
Us alone.
What have you to do with us?
Yeshua of Nazareth. Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. The Holy One of God.
Silence. Come out of him. There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the inheritance." So the father divided his property between the two sons. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there wasted every bit of his wealth on wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I'm going back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was out in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come home," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who wasted his money on prostitutes, comes home, you killed a fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." "Let's go into the next towns, so I can preach there as well. That's why I'm here."
"If you want to, you can make me clean."
"I want to be made clean."
"Rabbi, a leper?"
"He touched him."
"He not only touched him, he healed him. Look at his face. It's changing. And his hands. Look."
"Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. So you also appear on the outside to be righteous, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness."
He can't last much longer.
"Abba, into your hands I commit my spirit."
"No! No!"
"Miriam, don't look."
"I have to.
It is finished."
"I've seen him. The tomb is empty. And I've seen him.
We know the tomb is empty. We saw the grave clothes.
No.
But he wasn't there. They've taken him.
No, he's alive. I touched him. He said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" I thought he was the gardener, so I asked him where he had taken the body. That's when he said it. Miriam. And I knew it was him.